to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Just please follow as I read. Follow with your eyes as I read verses 8 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his holy begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's stop here and ask the Lord to help us tonight as we preach. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have together to preach your word. Lord, we need the help of the Holy Spirit tonight, both here and there. Lord, I need the help of the Holy Spirit to deliver your message to your people. Lord, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me clarity? Lord, would you give me the right words to speak? And then, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will also work in the midst of each one of us tonight to open our hearts, receive your word, and, Lord, desire to apply your word in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, again, if there's anybody here who is not saved, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to present the gospel and they will get saved. Lord, we praise you and glorify your name. We thank you. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Well, the title of the message tonight is Strangers and Pilgrims. I don't normally have a title, but I know that when I come over here, I have to have one, right? So I hope that's good enough. Like I told you, I always get caught up in the title. I spend so much time figuring out. So I don't have a title. But tonight, Strangers and Pilgrims, okay? Sounds pretty good, huh? Okay. Well, you know, we know that Abraham, in Genesis, we're told that Abraham, when God called him, he got up and went, right? He obeyed, and we know he did it by faith. But right here in Hebrews, we are told why. Verse number 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God told Abraham that he would lead him into a land. And Abraham got up and went. But now in the book of Hebrews, and in here 11 verse 10, we're told the reason why he got up and went. He was not only interested in the land that God had said he promised him, and God did bring him to that land, but he was, right here, the Bible tells us that he was looking for a much better city. Amen? A city whose foundations, who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so Abraham did not obey God, leave his family because he hated his family. Amen. Or that he did not like his country anymore. And so I might as well follow God. No. He obeyed God, and apparently because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now, and so here we find in verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, not knowing whither he went. But look in verse number 9. You see, God brought him to that promised land. But while he was there, verse number 9 tells us, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in permanent homes. Is that what he says? In beautiful houses. It says dwelling in tabernacles or tents. Now, why did he do that? Well, I guess that's how they were back then. But the Bible goes on to tell us that he dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, Isaac. Because he was looking, he was still searching for that city whose foundations the maker and builder is God. In other words, God had brought him to the promised land, but he was not satisfied where God had brought him. He was still looking for, and we know that's heaven. Amen? We know that's heaven. It's kind of like how we are today. Amen? We're looking forward to that mansion over the hilltop, over in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4. If you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and for me. Amen. For us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. And so here in verse number 9, here they're in the promised land, but they are sojourning, and they are still like strangers. They're in a strange country. Or you could say they were like strangers in that country. Why? They were looking for, Abraham was looking for that particular city, and he was looking forward to be in heaven. Now, verse number 11, we're told about Sarah, her own part in this journey of faith, journey of faith. And with Abraham and Sarah, she conceived and even passed her age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then verse number 12, we're told that eventually they would have their seed as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. But they didn't really see this. Abraham was in the promised land. But as to his seed, he did not really see all the seed that God had promised him. Now, verse number 13 is where I want to be tonight. Verse number 13, we're told these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Well, they were in the promised land, but talking about the seed. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham was in the promised land, and yet he made this confession. He made this declaration, a life's declaration, that he was a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Now, I believe you and I ought to be the same way. You and I ought to be the same way. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter number 2, if you'll turn there, 1 Peter chapter number 2, we are told that that's exactly who we are. Verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, verse 11, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, let me ask you, what is your confession? What is your life's declaration? You know, when we were young, we would be asked, now, what do you want to be when you get it, when you go old, right? And we had all the answers that we gave. Well, we're a little bit older now, right? But let me still ask you, what is your life's declaration? What is your life's confession? And I suggest tonight that this should be our declaration, that we are simply strangers and pilgrims in this earth. See, the problem is that we seem to have become settled immigrants. Amen. In fact, entitled immigrants. It seems like we want to remain in this earth. No, sir, no, ma'am. We ought to have this attitude that we are simply strangers and pilgrims here on earth. And we are on our way to heaven. See, sometimes you forget that. We forget that. And we begin to establish our lives as if there's really no heaven and there's really no eternity. Life is but a vapor. Amen. And Brother Rob, life is but a vapor. And so I encourage you tonight that this we should make this our confession. I believe that if this is our confession, we will become better servants of the Lord. Amen. We will become better stewards of what God gives us. We will become better ambassadors for Christ. We will become better children of God. Because we are not here permanently. We are simply strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, the Declaration of Independence of America was a very important part of history, because it contained the ideals and goals of this nation as formulated by the forefathers. It's very important that we as believers have a declaration. We have a declaration that will guide us in our journey of faith, our ideals, our goals. What is your goal as a child of God? What are your ideals? Hey, we ought to have those goals and ideals as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Abraham declared and confessed through his life that he was a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. And by the way, the Bible says, as we read earlier, we are in fact strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And as such, we need to begin living as strangers and pilgrims on this world, on this earth. Let us not be too attached. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Say, Pastor, how do you know that I am loving the world? Well, look, we ought to enjoy God's blessing. Amen. But if you cannot live without those things that you call blessings, then you are already attached to the world. Amen. Nothing wrong with having a car. But if all you're thinking about is having the next car, having the next home, the house, everything material, boy, you have become so attached to the world. Amen. Attached to the world. That's why I believe we need to be reminded, just like Abraham, that we need to make the confession that we are simply strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Now, how did Abraham make such a confession? I want to invite you, go back to Hebrews 11, verse number 13. I believe here's the reason why. Verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Abraham was able to make the confession that he was simply a stranger and pilgrim on this earth because he was persuaded by the word of God. He was persuaded. Unless you and I are persuaded about the word of God, about the truth of the word of God, about the promises in the word of God, about the principles laid down in the word of God, we will continue to live our lives our way, our worldly way. And we will miss out on the blessing of being able to completely serve God in this life if we are not completely persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, we always want to give glory to God. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I want to give glory to God. Praise the Lord. How are you going to give glory to God? Right here. Strong in faith. Living by faith. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you living your life by faith? Or are you living your life knowing that everything is taken care of? Amen. If everybody had about $10 million in their banks, this place would be full tonight. Amen. Nothing to worry about tomorrow. Why? Because I have money in the bank. But regardless if you didn't have any money in the bank, you ought to be here tonight. I know you're here. Amen. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to the choir. But you know what I'm saying? If everybody had that, was persuaded, they would be here tonight. They would be here tonight because the whole day is the Lord's day. Oh, okay. Living by faith, bringing glory to God. So, strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse number 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded. To be persuaded means not only to believe, but to trust and to have confidence in. Persuaded. You see, many people today are interested, but they're not necessarily persuaded. Amen? Some people are curious, but they're not necessarily persuaded. Some people are amazed, but they're not necessarily persuaded. Some people are hopeful, but they're not necessarily persuaded. You know what? Some people are almost persuaded. Almost persuaded, but not fully persuaded. You see, King Agrippa, remember King Agrippa? What did he say to Paul? Paul, thank you. Thank you, Paul. As a matter of fact, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. You know, many people like that. I know maybe some of you today are not fully persuaded that you need a Savior. Some people today are not fully persuaded that there is a lake of fire waiting where sin will be paid for. Oh, they're not fully persuaded. I wonder if that's you tonight. You know, King Agrippa, he said to Paul, I'm almost persuaded, but not quite. Why was he not persuaded? Well, number one, he was powerful. He could not give up his power and position in the Roman government to become a Christian. Many people today, they are not going to get saved. They're almost persuaded, but they're not willing to give up their power in society, their power in their family, power in the circle that they live in. Not willing to give it up. King Agrippa, almost, but not quite. Some people today, they're almost persuaded. In fact, they know the truth, but they are not going to become a Christian. They're not going to put the complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because they do not want to give up the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. They're willing to trade eternity for just a few moments of pleasure in sin that never lasts. You know? They're never satisfied. They always look for the next best thing. The pleasures of sin for a season. But they're almost persuaded. I wonder tonight if there's anybody here who's almost persuaded. Listen, listen, God loves you. God has made everything possible for you to escape the lake of fire. God has done everything. Christ died on the cross. Christ was nailed to the cross. He shed his precious blood so that you could be forgiven of sin. You see, there could be no forgiveness of sins unless there was a payment for sin. Some people think that God just forgives. No, God paid for sin first, and then he forgives. You see, God has made everything possible for you to escape the lake of fire. And if you're just almost persuaded, but you're not willing to give up and humble yourself before Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior and your Lord and commit to follow him, the lake of fire is waiting for you. Let me tell you something else. Life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. You see, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is the day of salvation. If that is you, my friend, almost persuaded, I encourage you tonight. I beg you tonight, be persuaded. Be persuaded, because that's either hell or heaven waiting. Now, I believe that everybody wants to be persuaded. Amen? I believe so. How was Abraham persuaded? Let's look at that. You see, you will be miserable as long as you are not fully persuaded of the promises of the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you'll be miserable if you continue to doubt the Word of God. You will not be able to enjoy the blessings of a victorious Christian life if you are not fully persuaded. And sadly, there are many believers who are living miserable lives because they are not fully persuaded about the Word of God. How was Abraham persuaded? Let's look at that tonight. You see, if you're fully persuaded, I tell you, the blessings of God will begin to overwhelm you. Listen to me. You know, some people are not persuaded that it is that God owns the tithe. Amen? Some people are not fully persuaded. Some people are not fully persuaded that God owns us. Some people are not fully persuaded that when you do not return the tithe, you are robbing God. Not fully persuaded. I tell you, and you are missing out on the blessing of obeying God completely because you are not completely persuaded. How was Abraham persuaded? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm not going to tell you anything new, really, but I just want to turn there. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm sorry, 12, rather. Genesis chapter 12. Let's see here. How was Abraham persuaded? Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. As the Lord had spoken. How was Abraham persuaded? Well, the Lord spoke. The Lord said, and Abraham was persuaded. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I suggest tonight that if you want to be fully persuaded, you ought to be listening to the word of God. Amen? Listen to the word of God. You know, the more you listen to the preaching of the word of God, the stronger your faith becomes. Amen? The more you read the Bible, the stronger your faith is. The more persuaded you are. The more you read about how God works through in his marvelous ways, the more you are persuaded. Abraham heard the word of God. The Lord said, and he obeyed. See, how is that possible? How will I be persuaded? Well, see, when Abraham heard the voice of God, Abraham stepped out in faith because he heard the word of God. She stepped out in faith. You see, that's the key. If you want to be persuaded, you must first, after you hear the word of God, after you read the word of God, you must first step out in faith. Step out in faith. How will that persuade me? Just step out in faith. As you begin to step out in faith and you begin to obey the Lord, then you will realize that you have been persuaded. And as you look back in your life, you say, Lord, thank you for persuading me. But how were you persuaded? Because you listened to the voice of God. You see, there's no magic. There's no magic. See, God always wants us to step out in faith first. Amen? God wants us to step out in faith and he will meet us there. Give an example. How about Peter? Remember Peter? What did he say to Jesus? He said to Jesus, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee. And what did Jesus say? Come. Come. The word of God, come. What did Peter do? He stepped out of the boat and he started to walk. Amen. And he was the more he walked, the more he was persuaded. Why? Because he listened to the word of God and he stepped out in faith and obeyed the word of God. And he stepped out and stepped out some more. And boy, he was persuaded that he could walk on water. We don't suggest that anybody do that. Amen. If you hear a voice, please don't say that, you know. But Peter was, he was persuaded because he listened to the voice of God. And my friend, I'm not telling anything new. All I'm saying is that if you want to be persuaded about the promises of God, obey. Amen. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the preaching of the word of God and step out in faith and obey. You know, it takes, the first step is to obey. Of course, when Peter began to look at the water, then he began to sink. See? So keep looking to Jesus. Amen? Keep moving. As you get persuaded, steps of faith, little steps of faith, pretty soon they become bigger steps of faith. And pretty soon as you look back, boy, you see you took leaps of faith. Praise the Lord that you took leaps of faith. But it takes a step of faith. The Lord said to Abraham, and he obeyed by faith. He obeyed by faith. Look, Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at the result of his being persuaded initially to obey God. Look what happens as you begin to step out in faith and obey God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why? Accounting that God was able to raise him up. You know, he was persuaded when God said, leave your family, go, and he went. Now God said, offer up Isaac. He was still persuaded. Greater faith. You see, small steps of faith beget bigger steps of faith. And pretty soon you will be walking by faith and you will be glorifying God because of your life. Walking by faith. I'm also reminded of the woman at Zarephath. You remember the woman at Zarephath? You know, Elijah, God sent Elijah to her. And Elijah came, wasn't a very good time, amen? She was running out. She was running out of food. And God sent Elijah to her and said, go and she'll take care of you. And Elijah did what the Lord said. And the woman said, you know, not a problem except that I just have this. I just have this. You see this, Elijah? Just this. Me and my son are going to eat this. And that's your last meal and we're going to die. And that's probably not very unique. At that time, maybe her neighbors did. Same situation. And here's Elijah saying, I understand. I completely understand. But don't worry. Just do this first. Make me a cake. And God will take care of you. The oil will not run out. The cruise will not run out. What do you think? How difficult do you think that was for that woman? But she was persuaded. How was she persuaded? Because she listened to the word of God. And she was persuaded and she obeyed. And you know the rest of what happened. She never ran out. You see, it's very important that we are persuaded. You know, I remember when we started, again, like I said, without Pastor Barker, I do not know how the Lord would have gotten us started. Because when I started, I was told that I would not be a successful church planter. Because I was told, you do not have money. And that was true. It's still true. You don't have money. As a matter of fact, somebody from the field said, buy this book. And that book will help you start the church. I bought the book. You know what the book said? I needed about $80,000 in reserve to be able to start a church. I said, how in the world can I start a church? And then the advice said, you can't start. You don't have money. What else? You never went to Bible college. I praise God for Bible colleges. We have one student in Bible college. He's on his third year. When he finishes, I told Pastor Carl, whether he stays with us, goes to the mission field, praise the Lord. Amen. Fruit for us, fruit for you. Amen. But you'd had no Bible college training. So that's two. Oh, boy. And the third is, and you have a son who has autism, which is true. It's going to be very difficult. At that time, Zach was only, 8 years old or 9 years old. He's 15 now, minus seven. I'm not very good in math. Seven. And you have a son with autism. It's going to be very difficult for you. But you know what happened? I was persuaded. Amen. I was persuaded that God is able. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. I stepped out in faith with the help of Pastor Barker and the help of Bible Baptist Church of Elmont. I stepped out in faith. Pastor Barker scratched his head. Well, brother, if the Lord's in it, it'll fly. Amen. He took me in. You took us in, and you sent us out as missionaries to plant a church in Jackson Heights. And by the grace of God, today we're 7 years old. Amen. We're supporting a lot of missionaries today to the uttermost. And so their fruit, our fruit, your fruit. But it had to be that God had persuaded me. But I would not have been persuaded had I not stepped out in faith. Because everything that was told to me was true. And how will I be persuaded? Well, I had to step out in faith. By the grace of God, I will be able to do it. I'm still not successful. I'm not saying that. But by the grace of God, we're able to move. Amen? We're able to see souls get saved. We're able to establish a church that is a soul-winning church just like yours. Every Saturday. What a blessing. But it takes persuasion. And we cannot persuade ourselves. It has to be God who persuades us. God through his word. But it takes our stepping out in faith in order to see God work miracles in our life. How was Abraham persuaded? Simple. He listened to the word of God. And he stepped out in faith. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight. Something special God wants you to do. Seems difficult, but if you're going to step out in faith, you will be persuaded that God is able. So number one, he listened to the word of God and he stepped out by faith and he was persuaded. Number two, go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Not only was he persuaded because he stepped out in faith first, but look in verse number 13 again. And was persuaded of them, the promises of God. And, what does it say? Embrace them. That's very important. We need to embrace the promises of God. You know, sometimes we can be persuaded, but we're half-hearted. Okay, we'll see. Okay. No, we need to embrace it. Kind of like the new life. Listen, if you're a new believer tonight and you want to enjoy the Christian life, you must embrace this Christian life. You must embrace this Christian life. There's so much joy in being a Christian. There's so much excitement in being a Christian. You know, it's not the excitement of seeing the things of the world, but excitement of seeing how God works miracles in your lives. Excitement in seeing souls getting saved. Excitement in seeing Christians grow. Boy, I tell you, in Jackson Heights, it's exciting to see how those who were previously unbelievers are now believers and now are serving the Lord, trusting the Lord, living by faith, and really just growing. Oh, it's exciting. But we have to embrace this. You know, when I felt the Lord called me to the ministry, first, when we found out that our son had autism, it was difficult. But if we hadn't embraced what the Lord has given us, we would be very miserable. It's difficult as it is, but we have embraced this life. Amen. We have embraced what God has given us. Abraham embraced the promises, although he hadn't seen them yet. You see, we ought to embrace the promises of God in order to enjoy the life that God has given us. Embrace it. You see, they were a stranger and pilgrim in that land. He embraced it. Listen, we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. If you are not going to embrace that truth, you will be miserable. Why? You know there's heaven, but you're trying to live your life as if this is the life. And you'll be miserable as you come Sunday, you hear the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit continues to convict you, and you go out into the world and want to live like the world. Very miserable. You want to live a joyful Christian life? Embrace the promises of God. You know, many people today are missing out because they have not embraced the promises of God. Right here in the Bible. Many, many promises. Of course, these promises come with what we call prerequisites. Obedience to God. Obedience to God. Will you embrace the promises of God today? Will you embrace His Word? Will you embrace this new life that you have in the Lord? Will you embrace this calling that God has placed in your life? Embrace it and enjoy what God has for you. You see, Abraham, he was able to declare, he confessed that he is a stranger, he was a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. If we did that, we would be able to do so much more for the Lord. I realize that looking at you who have, I believe, have made that confession. And that's why you're here tonight. That's why you're serving the Lord. But we need to pray for some more. If we had more believers realizing, listen, we're not, you know, this life, just for a few years, and then we're passing on. And so we must do the best that we can for the Lord right here, because we're looking at heaven. Amen. We're looking at that inheritance that we have that is in heaven reserved for us. Oh, I thank the Lord for this church, a strong church, a church that is bringing in people and bringing in people to serve the Lord. I'm very excited about the work in Albany. We want to do the same. Amen. I'd like to believe that your influence in our church in Jackson Heights has been very important. I would like to be an influence over there as well, because we need more churches that will encourage believers to become simply strangers and pilgrims on this earth. What is your life's confession tonight? If you have, if you are thinking about the things of the world, if you're thinking just like the world, when I get to this age, get to that age, I'll do this, I'll do that. Listen, we need to change our mindset. Amen. We're simply pilgrims and strangers. And in any time, God can take us. And so while we're here, we need to do our best for the Lord. You know, God comes first. God comes first above everything else. Above any relationship that we might have that might distract us, God comes first. But any career that we might have, God comes first. I'm not saying everybody suddenly become a pastor. No, not so. But see, God comes first. And as God calls, as God leads, we follow. Just like Abraham, wherever he leads, we'll follow. Whatever he says, we'll do. Wherever he leads us into, we'll take the challenge. Amen. Because we're fully persuaded. I pray tonight that let's be reminded that we're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose, and we're here to do the best we can to bring souls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, church, for being faithful. Without you, I do not know where we would be. Where would we be? But it's not time to rest. Amen. Continue. Continue. Serve the Lord. Give to missions. Amen. Continue to give to missions. Return the tithe. Come out soul winning. Invite others to come to church. You know, do whatever you can to serve the Lord. And then parents, always bring your children to church. Amen. Always bring them to church. You know, children should not be able to decide for themselves. Amen. As long as they live under your roof, they're under your authority. You say, oh, Pastor, my son, then kick him out. Amen. You think they think they can live their own lives, then kick them out. I guarantee you the next Sunday they'll be in church. Amen. As long as they're under your roof, it is your responsibility, it's your accountability to bring them to church. It's for their best. If that's what you need to do as parents, well, you need to do it. By the grace of God, you can do it. I hope I encourage you tonight that we are here for a purpose. Let's continue. Amen. Lord, I thank you tonight.